Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Busy night on the way. It is the opening night of the Champions League group phase. Both Liverpool, the holders, and Chelsea, the Europa League winners, are in action tonight, as well as the rather tasty meeting of Borussia Dortmund and Barcelona over at the Westfalenstadion. We'll be keeping tabs on all of that. We've got Damien Delaney in studio across the night for us as well, who'll be keeping an eye on all of the action. As well as that, we'll be talking the new GAA football two-tier championship proposal. It's going to be voted upon at Special Congress in Cork next month. We're going to have Pat Nolan from the Irish Daily Mirror and also Emma Mulligan, the Leitrim footballer, in with us a little bit later on to talk about that. Plus, the PGA Tour golfer, two-time winner on the PGA Tour, Troy Merritt, is going to join us talking about the joys of playing golf after losing a rib. As always, if you want to get in contact tonight, you can do, and we welcome it. 53106 for 30 cents if you want to text us, and you can tweet us as well at Off the Ball. Joined also in the studio tonight as well by the Love Cannon from Monaghan, Shane Hannon. Good evening to you, sir.
First time I've been referred to the Love Cannon on air, but I appreciate it.
Are we taking that from off air to on air?
I feel like
it's okay.
It just happened, so it's all good.
Yeah, it is.
I appreciate it.
Well, it's setting the table for your Love Zone type show that's going to eventually come the way of OTB Radio.
As long as you do the voiceover, the promo for it, that'll be all good.
That's going to cost you a fair few quid. Damien, welcome to the studio.
Okay, Ben.
Not too bad. Happy, sad, or indifferent to have the Champions League group phase back? It always feels like we've kind of reached proper autumn by the time this happens.
It does, right? I'm happy it's back. You know, when the dark nights start closing in, it's nice to have something to look forward to on a Tuesday or Wednesday night.
See, I'm totally against it. Totally against it, because there's two things that precipitate the fact that winter's coming. One of them, Strictly's back on a Saturday, right? So that, you're like, oh Christ, yeah, Christmas will be like 2 weeks away. And then you have this where you're like, all right, Grant, here we are now. We're into week in, week out, caring what score it is in Inter and Slavia Prague. Scoreless, by the way, for those keeping tabs on.
But you know, the other side of that as well, though, is come the springtime when you start watching Champions League games and it's light outside, summer's coming. So it's kind of like you have to take the good with the bad and maybe a little bit of that. But I don't know, I'm looking forward to it. It's nice to have.
Yeah, we'll get the team news in a minute from Shane, but I guess this one is kind of set up rather nicely because Liverpool, who I don't think would have been everybody's favourites going potentially to win it last year, are going to be now having that target on their back in terms of being the holders. You've got a lot of teams who've spent heavily and still want to get over the line. The likes of Juventus I'm thinking of here, Real Madrid would be another one who've been away from the top table for a while, and also Barcelona as well, considering the outlay that they've had across the summer. It's actually a really even playing field this tournament.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, just look at the team there straight away, it's as you are really for Liverpool, and it'll be interesting to see if they can maintain the same tempo that they played last year, because the one thing Liverpool do is they set a pace that makes it very, very difficult to live with. And I think a lot of European teams, a lot of analysts all over Europe would have watched Liverpool and would be figuring out ways to counteract that. And the fact that they haven't strengthened really, when you look at the squad there, sort of relying on the same thing, that high tempo, that kind of breakneck speed, and win the game as early as possible.
Is that a very difficult thing to maintain from a footballer's point of view? Like when that team is playing at that pace consistently week in and week out with minimal changes and minimal tweaks?
Definitely, I think it's very, very hard. I think in the Premier League, I think that squad is so strong that it can do it. You know, I think it's so far ahead. But as you said earlier, the European teams are so good now, and all of them have improved. They've had a year to look at them and try and figure out a weakness that's in the side. Also, after winning the trophy, there'll be a question mark. Do they have the same hunger that they had last year? Because, you know, last year they were beaten finalists. They were maybe chasing it down. There was an extra little bit of motivation. You know, they're champions and everyone's going to be chasing them down. So it'll be interesting to see. I think tonight they've got too much for Napoli, and of course they get out of their group and they'll get into the latter stages. But, you know, big long Premier League season ahead. Huge pressure on them to win it this year. So maybe I won't say he'll prioritise the Premier League. I think Klopp, I wouldn't say that, but the squad looks a little bit thin to fight on both fronts again.
Shane, we'll crack into the team news, I guess, because that kickoff is rapidly approaching 8 o'clock. We'll look at a little bit more depth as the show moves on. But Liverpool, as Damien mentions, off in Italy tonight.
Yeah, there had been worries over Andy Robertson. He had received a knock, but he is fit to start for Liverpool at the Stadio San Paolo in Naples this evening. Liverpool make three changes, and all Roberto Firmino, Jordan Henderson and James Milner come in for Divock Origi, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain and Jorginho Wijnaldum. The Liverpool Liverpool team then. Adrian in goals, back four, Alexander-Arnold, Matip, Van Dijk and Robertson. You have Fabinho, Milner and Henderson. And then, of course, Mane, Salah and Firmino. Quirin Kelleher sits on the bench for Liverpool. Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp has been assessing tonight's opposition, who they also faced in last year's group stages. Of course, Napoli winning that game by a goal to nil. But Klopp has been speaking about Napoli in the build-up.
Stubborn in a very positive way. They play football, they break lines, they have counter-attacks, they are creative, they come between the lines. There's so many good football things. I enjoy actually analyze always when I watch Napoli. It's really interesting. But at the end you realize it's not only interesting, it's difficult as well. So it's football. So we are all to defend, so Napoli is to defend as well, but only with hard work, and hopefully we can show that.
Yeah, this time last year, that fixture proved a little bit of a tricky prospect for Liverpool. And this time around, you get the sense that Liverpool probably should be too strong for Napoli?
I think they will be, you know. Even away from home this early in the season, the kind of the excitement of the first Champions League game, the adrenaline will be flowing for them. So I think Liverpool should have too much for them. Straight away, looking at the team sheet there is Quirin Kelleher being on the bench.
Yeah.
You know, I've never wished ill on anyone or never, you know, never kind of hoped or wished that anyone would get injured, but it'd be great to see Quirin Kelleher make his debut.
Yeah, watching him in action for the under-21s there last week in Sweden, he had that moment where everybody, I think the FAI definitely tweeted it anyway, and people were saying that he's clearly had the influence of Alisson and other keepers at Anfield, because he was taking a sidestep around a defender and then playing the ball out. I mean, the guy's exuding confidence at the moment. He's probably every reason to.
Yeah, the benefit of you, huh? Well, tonight if he try, or Bernie makes his debut, if he makes a mistake, that youthful exuberance won't be long going out of him.
The other match, Salzburg and Genk in Liverpool's group, of course, tonight. Chelsea also in action tonight, Shane.
Yeah, the Europa League winners, of course, Chelsea, starting their Group H campaign against Valencia. That's at Stamford Bridge. Frank Lampard taking charge of the Chelsea, of course, for the first time in that competition. He won as a player in 2012. The Chelsea team is out to face Valencia. 3-4-3 lineup. Aretha Balaga in goals, the back three then, Zuma, Christensen and Tomori. You have in the midfield Azpilicueta, Alonso, Jorginho and Kovacic. And then you have Willian, Abraham and Mount up the top. Lampard has been speaking, Frank Lampard, in the build-up. He claims his side's focus and concentration levels will have to be spot on in every game in Europe this season.
Not to say you can get away with things in the Premier League, but that the higher level of player in the Champions League, the different style of game that can sometimes surprise you. Teams that are fantastic on the counter-attack and can hurt you in 1 second when you feel like you're controlling a game.
Frank Lampard, Damien, he's obviously won this tournament as a player. Mm. He's got, you know, endless amount of experience in it as a player. But as a manager, this is going to be a real test of where he is at the moment.
It is, definitely. But you can hear that in the interview him saying that, you know, he's obviously aware of all the different styles, the different environments you're going to have to play in. The level is obviously different from the Premier League. So it's just a test of his man management, really, in his organisation. Can he get that across to the players? Can he influence all those young players who maybe know what the Premier League is about? You know, a lot of them are English when you look at Tammy Abraham, Mason Mount and the likes that are in it. So it's a test of his man management. Can he get that across? But again, I think Chelsea will be okay tonight as well.
What have you made of Lampard so far as manager?
If it wasn't Lampard, probably people would be mourning, right? But I think the fact he's a champion, Chelsea legend, and
the transfer ban buys him a bit of forgiveness,
right? And the fact, and it only buys you a certain amount. I spoke with this before. You know, results have been okay, and at the minute, you know, Chelsea fans have probably something else to vent their anger on, be it like the transfer ban or, you know, your man leaving there at the end of the season. So like, it'll buy me a little bit of time, but not too much. But I think he's done okay. But he needs a couple of big results to really get the Chelsea fans on side.
It's a heartening thing, though, to see younger players being given a chance under him. I mean, the likes of Mason Mount, who impressed for him while on loan at Derby, and Tammy Abraham played such a key role in getting Villa up last year, too.
I think it's brilliant. And I think I said before on one of your shows that I hope it's a blueprint moving forward, that a lot of teams will see that these types of players who have excelled whilst out on loan in the Championship, or who have excelled while playing in other teams, can step up to the mark and can play to the level that's required. So I'm hoping that other Premier League teams will look at that and start giving you a bit more of a chance.
Is that like you've had experience in being in a Premier League squad, and obviously, you know, you would have seen younger players being brought in and being on the fringes of training and being on the fringes perhaps of being on the subs bench or maybe used on occasion. what's it like to kind of balance their hopes and expectations of getting so far, getting to where Caoimhín Kelleher is, say, now, and trying to make that next step? Like, do the older players, is it incumbent upon them to put an arm around them and to have a word and just say, listen, be patient, or do this or do that? Like, how did you deal with the younger players when you were in
Palace? It's difficult, really, you know. When my last years at Palace, there was a young boy, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, was coming through, right? And everyone talked about how fantastic player he was, but he was fantastic in training for a year before he made his debut, right? Mm. And it was only the fact that Joel Ward got injured, it kind of forced the manager's hand that he had to play him, right? So the chances are, if a manager has a choice between an experienced pro who's guaranteeing him 6-7 out of 10, or a young kid, that if things go well, you might get an 8 or a 9, but my God, you know, it mightn't go well and the kid might have a poor game, and then not only affecting the team, but, you know, the kid might never play football again, because, you know, if he goes in his debut and has an absolute howler, then, you know, it's quite difficult to get over for 17 or 18 years of age. So I think it's a case of, like, training well, doing well in the games, going out on loan, doing well, and proving to the manager that if he does need you, if he has to put you in, then he will have confidence to do that, but, you know, it might get him through a sticky patch till, you know, the senior player gets fit, or he can figure out another solution, you know. So I think the player has to prove he's ready. Obviously, Caoimhín has done that. He hasn't been on loan. He hasn't played any first team football. So it would be interesting if he made his Football League debut or his professional debut in a Champions League.
Yeah. Shane, Ajax gave us so much great entertainment in this competition last year. How do they start?
Yeah, they host Lille this evening, Richie. That's also in Chelsea's group. So that's an 8 o'clock start as well. Group F then, Borussia Dortmund host Barcelona this evening, and it's Inter Milan versus Slavia Prague. That game started at 5-6, 62 minutes gone at the San Siro, and still remains scoreless. And the last group then for this evening's games, Group G, Lyon against Zenit St. Petersburg. That started at 5-6 as well. Currently 1-1, Memphis Depay has just equalised for Lyon from the penalty spot. The Iranian striker Sardar Azmoun had given Zenit the lead just before half time, and Benfica take on Leipzig in the other game in that group at 8 o'clock, Richie.
Yeah, and we'll be keeping tabs on all of those, especially during the football show between 9 and 10. And Katie Taylor, we got news last night that there was a fight in the offing for her. We now know her opponents.
Yeah,
as well.
We have the opponents. The Greek boxer Christina Linartadou. She stands between Katie Taylor and her goal of becoming a two-weight world champion. The fight will take place at the Manchester Arena on November 2nd as she fights for the WBO light welterweight title. That'll be a headline bout on that card at the Manchester Arena. Anthony Crolla will retire on the same bout. Taylor has been speaking today. She says she knows she has a big year ahead, but isn't looking past that November challenge.
My focus is completely on November 2nd. But there is a huge fights out there for me. You mentioned that fight pursuing the rematch, Amanda Serrano. Those fights are going to happen next year sometime, I hope, and it's going to be a huge 12 months for me. But right now my focus is fully on November the 2nd, and I have to get past Christina. She brings a lot to the table. She's a very, very strong fighter. I am very aware of the challenge that she brings.
We've had a goal in Milan, Shane.
Slavia Prague have I didn't even see the goal, but that's a massive goal for them, considering it's their first time in the group stages. But they're doing quite well. They have created a couple of chances in the first half as well, Slavia, but they don't seem daunted by the occasion.
They don't indeed. I think this one went to VAR, but I can't see too much in the reason why this wouldn't.
Offside maybe from the original shot, but
we look like we're in the second phase of play once the keeper saves it. And yeah, we'll get you confirmation of that goal shortly. But yeah, the press conference today had a bit more entertainment than Katie.
Yeah, an interesting dynamic. So that Katie Taylor press conference, the manager of Linartadou, Christina Linartadou, Brian Cohen, he suggested Taylor's contract for the fight included a rematch clause, and he demanded from Eddie Hearn to know why his fighter did not receive the same terms.
When you see your fighter get off an airplane in tears, she's not happy. She's the champion. And like you said, we weren't negotiating for quite some time. And she just feels as the champion that she should have a rematch clause in her contract. You know,
you're that worried about losing already? I mean,
yeah. I mean, if you don't be cute.
Oh, no, be cute.
Be cute.
No, because what do you think? You're going to win the fight or not?
I mean, she's coming to win the fight, but you don't got to be cute, Eddie. You know what I mean? I'm not the one.
Don't be cute, Richie.
I still have it in my makeup to be cute, to be honest with you, Shane.
He's insufferable, isn't he?
What do you really think?
Damn, you get off the fence, isn't it?
Oh, he is, though, isn't it?
I think Hearn's
problem. Absolutely.
I think Hearn's problem is he's everywhere now. It's like, as soon as there's a major boxing card, like, Eddie Hearn is there, and Eddie Hearn is usually there front and centre.
Yeah.
And it almost seems like it's partially him that's promoting himself rather than.
Oh, he most certainly is. In fairness, he does good fights, like, you know, but like you said, he's front and centre, like, he's trying to be clever there with the guy. I mean,
he didn't lick it off the stones, in fairness. I mean, his dad was apparently dab-handed as well. But yeah, at least we got some entertainment in that press conference. We were at Off the Ball creating our own entertainment at press conferences as well.
Yeah,
earlier on this morning, Shano.
Owen Sheehan, who's of course busy at work in Japan for the Rugby World Cup, he went to the South African press conference. So quite interesting indeed. The South African assistant coach Matt Proudfoot won't be drawn into a discussion around whether the Springboks have an image problem when it comes to doping. Last year's World Rugby Breakthrough Player of the Year, Afiwe Diante, he was handed a 4-year ban recently for failing a drugs test, of course. South Africa could be on a collision course to meet Ireland in the quarterfinals at the Rugby World Cup in Japan. Proudfoot told Owen Sheehan at that press conference this morning that he's not equipped to talk about the doping problem.
Owen Sheehan from Off the Ball in Dublin. How are things?
Very well, thank you. And yourself?
Very well. So there's been a lot written in Irish media over the last couple of days about rugby and drugs in rugby. And a question for you, as somebody who's worked in the Northern Hemisphere, it's kind of a two-pronged question. We've had to ask hard questions in Ireland of underage players in schools as well. Does rugby have a doping issue, and does South African rugby have a doping issue?
I think I'm a forwards coach, mate. You know, that's something for administrators to answer on. I wouldn't have to be able to answer that question. I don't have the information to answer that question. You know, if you ask me something about the game specifically, I could answer that. But I mean, that's for administrators.
Are you concerned at all about the image of South African rugby?
I think the image of South African rugby is portrayed about what you see on the field. You know, we're competitive. We're a competitive nation. If you look at from our sevens team, how well they're competing on the world stage, our junior side third in the world championships, junior championships. The Springboks competing well. The women's team qualifying. So I think that's the image of South African rugby that needs to be attained. I think if from a sports spectator point of view, of course doping in sport is something that continually needs, not just rugby, continually needs to be addressed on a worldwide platform. So to talk about it from an assistant coach position, I don't think it's my role to speak about it.
Yeah, there's much more from Owen on this morning's OTB AM and over on offtheball.com as well. Lots more to come from that story, I'd imagine, too. And as well from Owen on the way as well, Inner City Sumo for any Alan Partridge fans out there as well tonight. But one breaking story from Wales, and their preparations received a bit of a blow today, Shane.
Yeah, big worry for them. So the Welsh Rugby Union has confirmed backs coach Rob Howley has been sent home from the World Cup for allegedly breaking betting rules. He's returned to Wales to assist in a WRU investigation into the potential breach. Howley was due to stand down anyway after the tournament, and his successor Stephen Jones will now link up with the squad out in Japan to take charge of their attack. Warren Gatland's side, of course, start their campaign in Japan next Monday. They take on Georgia, so not the news Wales would have wanted.
Yeah, they're clearly taking any breaches of betting rules seriously. It's obviously a fine line that football has to walk as well, Damien, in terms of how people approach betting. Obviously, players are not allowed essentially going near bookies. The one thing I've often found strange is that they're not allowed. Was one of the Everton players recently was basically censured for advertising a betting company back home, and they have a betting company on their jersey.
Yeah,
like that's always been the dichotomy that I've found hard to kind of justify in my head.
It was only the last few years that changed, because up until about 3 years ago it was you're not allowed to bet in any competition that you're playing in. And then they changed it to just like a blanket ban of like you're not allowed to bet in football full stop. So I couldn't, like when I was playing, I couldn't bet on, say, I don't know, Chinese football or anything. It was just a complete ban.
The question is, why would you be betting on Chinese football, Damien?
Well, some people might like it, I don't know. Just, you know, it could be anything, you know.
If each to their own, yeah.
Ah, well, you know, if you're having a tough night or whatever, you know. I don't know, but like, I don't understand that. I mean, surely I couldn't influence like what's going on out in another country or even another division, really, you know. Whatever, we're betting on your own league and your own games. I'm not really sure about that.
Yeah, it's just the trying to keep players away from betting, and as you say, you know, they're fairly stringent rules. But then for players to be, like, I think it's 10 out of the 20 Premier League sides have betting companies as their main sponsors on their shirts.
It's crazy.
It just seems completely at odds with one another. It's like, oh yeah, like certain players for Manchester United, not for Manchester United, they don't have a betting company, for Palisade, who do.
Yeah.
They can't go and make a bet, and they can advertise a Chinese betting company who don't necessarily even operate within England. It's just, for me, seems a bit odd.
It is odd. It's an interesting topic, but yeah. I mean, obviously, those betting companies are paying so much money, no one's going to ban them from it.
That's the problem. Rob Kearney, we have some hopeful news.
Yeah, kind of hopeful news. Rob Kearney will train with the Irish squad tomorrow in Japan as he battled a calf injury ahead of Sunday's World Cup opener against Scotland in Yokohama. Keith Earls also has done some running as he bids to prove his fitness. Robbie Henshaw, of course, will miss that game on Sunday morning with his hamstring complaints, but slightly better news from an Irish perspective, you would think.
Indeed it is. A couple of texts in, 53106. Lads, have to say that is one cracking Skype line you've got Damien Delaney on tonight, Bula Bus. That's from Dave. It is the latest.
What do you mean by that?
It's the latest in holographic technology is what we have here. Damien's not actually here. This is actually a Skype line. I don't know if you saw the news today that Whitney Houston's going out on tour, but in hologram form. We've got that technology locked down for Damien Delaney.
I feel like he's right beside me.
This studio can bloody well do anything. It's good, isn't it? But if you reach out your hand, go straight through him.
Yeah.
Like something.
I don't want to try it.
Hi, lads. What were the court cases? Public assault, public indecency, doping, and now gambling. Is rugby's perch? I thought they were going to be talking about us there. On the moral high ground now in shaky territory. That's from Jimmy. Every sport has its problems. I don't think rugby would view itself as being on moral high ground more than anybody else. Record attendance, at least they're trying to get one for the Republic of Ireland women's team.
Indeed.
Coming in Tala.
Yeah, big time. So the Republic of Ireland women's team aiming for that record attendance. They have the Euro 2021 qualifier with Ukraine next month. Vera Powell's first game in charge will be on Tuesday, October 8th at Tala Stadium. Arsenal and Ireland star Louise Quinn says they're hoping to get big numbers after a record attendance in the All-Ireland Senior Ladies football final at the weekend.
That was absolutely brilliant to see those records attendances, and you know that's something that we want to be a part of as the, you know, as the Irish women's national team, to be breaking those records and to get as many people into this stadium as we can. And you know that sort of support is something that really pushed us on. So it was it was incredible to see, and you know, to see all the massive 20x20 flags everywhere. It's just, you know, to know that that's making an impact on women's sport is huge.
Yeah, she mentioned it there, but Louise is speaking in association with 20x20, of which Off the Ball is a partner. The hashtag is Can't See, Can't Be, and you can get your tickets for that match at www.fai.ie/tickets.
Great position in the group, Ireland, there, in terms of Vera Paul's first game as manager. You got Ukraine, he'll be coming off the back of a game against Germany, who are group favourites for that as well, and Ireland looking to qualify for at least a playoff spot as well, you would hope, behind Germany, or even perhaps better as the group progresses. But a great game in prospect in Tala Stadium on the 8th of October. Finally, some terrible news from Manchester City tonight, Shane.
Yeah, big blow for them, Richie. So Premier League champion City will be without defender John Stones for up to 5 weeks, could be 6 weeks as well, some are saying. The England international is suffering from a muscular injury he suffered in training this morning. The 25-year-old is now likely to miss at least their opening two Champions League group games and up to four Premier League ties. They, of course, play Shakhtar Donetsk in the Ukraine tomorrow evening.
Hammer blow that, Damien, isn't it?
Yeah, they're already short on centre-backs. It'll be difficult. Be interested to see what they do now. I think Pep will have to come up with something clever, like maybe play with three at the back.
He mentioned today Fernandinho. He's going to draft Fernandinho into the defence, possibly.
He's done it before, hasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. So it'll be an interesting one, but not ideal for City.
No, indeed. We'll get into City's defensive problems in further depth with Damien later on in the football show. On top of that as well, we'll have PGA Tour golfer Troy Merritt in here about talking about playing golf weeks after having to have a rib removed in a Prince Dailly, but not quite. Also on top of that as well, we'll be talking the latest two-tier football championship proposals that will be put before Special Congress next month. Pat Nolan of the Irish Daily Mirror and Emlyn Mulligan, the Leitrim footballer, will be joining us too. Just to update you, Peter Olejinka has gotten that Slavia Prague goal, the lead away to Inter by a goal to nil, still 1-1 between Lyon and Zenit. But before we hit the ads, I have to tell you that every night this week we're giving you the chance to win a nightly prize of a €100 voucher for appliancesdelivered.ie. You will also be in the running to win the ultimate entertainment package of a Samsung 55-inch HDR Ultra HD Smart 4K TV, the more adjectives the better, a 1-for-all 32-inch and 60-inch tilt and turn wall mount, a Samsung wireless soundbar with wireless subwoofer, and Google Chromecast Ultra. To be on the chance of winning, answer this question: when was the last time that Inter won the Champions League? The last time that Inter won the Champions League. If you think you know, text your name and your answer to 53106 for 30 cents, and we'll announce the winner at the end of the show. It's all with thanks to appliancesdelivered.ie, the best range of big screen TVs and accessories delivered in time for the biggest games. Shane, thank you. Damien, you're sticking around for the night as well. We'll have more to come after this.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.